Welcome to the Free Cities Podcast. My name is Timothy Allen, and this is the official podcast of the Free Cities Foundation. Hello, and welcome to this episode number 118 of the Free Cities Podcast, also known as FreeCP 118. It's wonderful to have you here. I appreciate every single one of you coming here every week, listening to me drone on in these intros. One part of this job that I really enjoy is finding new guests, people you've probably never heard of before. This, I suppose, is one of the characteristics of the FreeCP brand. I love talking to people who I've never seen or heard on another podcast, and today's guest is one such person, for me at least. Let's see what the AI has concluded after digesting our conversation. Tim Stern, a tech entrepreneur and visionary, shares his journey of establishing a unique community on Venezuela's Margarita Island, dubbed Crypto City. With a background in IT and a passion for liberty, Tim transitioned from traditional business to creating a haven for like-minded individuals seeking freedom from oppressive governance. This episode dives into the intricacies of building in a special economic zone where residents enjoy tax-free living and a supportive entrepreneurial environment. Tim discusses the challenges and triumphs of constructing a community from the ground up, including the logistical hurdles of moving large amounts of earth and the importance of selecting the right residents through a rigorous vetting process. I'm not sure the AI really needs to tell us how much earth he moved, but still, it goes on. Listeners will learn about the strategic advantages of Margarita Island, the vision for future developments, and how Tim's project aims to create a safe and prosperous space for families and entrepreneurs alike. Correct. Sounds good. My addendum, I suppose, would be that, the things that stuck out for me at least, was the very rigorous vetting process that Tim employs. Really fascinating. I think Tim in the conversation described the desired resident of his city as, in quotes, a normal guy from the 90s, which I'm assuming means before all the woke stuff kicked in. Anyway, as you can guess, I'm not really a fan of the name Crypto City. You know, I'm a Bitcoin, not crypto guy. But hey, that won't stop me from watching this project closely as it evolves. Tim is certainly, how would we say in the UK, a colourful character. I very much enjoyed talking to him, a young maverick, and certainly he made me laugh a lot. Anyway, here's your weekly reminder that the Free Cities Conference is back. See, you can change the name of a project without causing any problems. Yes, the former Liberty in Our Lifetime is back, and tickets are now available for 2025. You know where? FreeCitiesConference.org or .com by the looks of it. There aren't any other Free Cities conferences out there, so we had the pick of the best web domains. About 250 days to go by the looks of it. 31st of October to the 2nd of November 2025. It's the conference for the Free Cities movement. That's why we called it the Free Cities Conference, I suppose. Anyway, no Nosta comments today. I'm recording this intro in advance of the week that it's going out because I'll be on the road then in the US, Colorado Springs and New Hampshire for the next round of Free Cities interviews. Lots of new names coming, I can promise you that. Time to take a break now. Take it easy, guys. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Tim Stern. And then the last 2 years, I'm like, shit, I want to do this full time. I don't want to do what I used to do. It's, you know, it's, this is where it's at. This is the cutting edge. This is the frontier of all of the only things. There's only a few things worth fighting, being involved in at the moment. I think in my case, Bitcoin's one of them and free cities are the other. There's two things, the digital freedom and the physical freedom. And other than that, I'm cool. I could not make another film about anything else ever again. I literally don't give a shit at all. You know what I mean? It's funny how it changes like that. You strike me as a young gentleman. So I'm, how old are you? Just out of
28.
28. And have you always been in this kind of world?
Well, I've always been in the tech space, but the city thing is new since like 2 years.
So, all right, let's start right from the beginning. I'm recording now. We're red, and yes, very good. Give us a quick lowdown on who you are then.
Okay.
I know you've got a good name because I'm a Tim.
Are you a Tim as well?
Yes, the best people are Tims.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm Tim. My surname is Stern, which means Stern in German. No, it's different. I'm 28. I'm living in Venezuela on Margarita Island. And since around 2 years, I'm working on building Crypto City. And the probabilities of success probably were pretty low. But hey, we made it. We are constructing since 33 weeks. We have 50 wonderful families now in our community, and yesterday I got to know probably around 10 more which are interested and which are going to visit us in Margarita Island, Venezuela.
Wow. So I went to your website. Unfortunately, I couldn't see your talk. I've been recording podcasts constantly. But I assumed you were still in the kind of startup phase. That's not true in the slightest.
We are completely in construction. I mean, in construction, we are moving a shit ton of earth, around 400,000 tons right now, which translates to about, I did it yesterday in my presentation, around 80 Big Bens in volume, which we already moved. And we are doing a terrace concept, which means every guy who buys a plot is going to have a nice beach view. And this is the construction site here.
Oh, my God.
It's 13 hectares. And this is how it looks when all the movement is happening in the moment. And now we're going to do streets and walls. And
I saw the renderings of it. It looks very... It's like
an old rendering.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the design's changed since then, has it?
Not the street, not the main design from the houses in the streets, but obviously the houses were just like placeholders. Right now we have houses, and 2 days ago we got named a special economic zone in Margarita Island, just Crypto City.
Really? Holy crap. That's actually so does that mean... I mean, like, we're racing ahead here. I wanted to set the scene first, but screw it. Let's just go for it. As a special economic zone, does that mean you can grant your residents those same special permissions? I mean,
special economic zone, first things first, in Margarita means tax-free 0% for the next 5 to 7 years. Depends on which area you're in. We are also getting or helping all our buyers with the papers, you know, like visa and permanent residency and everything. But we are not that kind of far like Prospera, which had like this sede concept, or they had like their own authority. That's not how it is. And for the moment, just a special economic zone.
But it does mean that your residents don't need to pay tax?
No, zero.
Wow. Blimey. Well, how did you negotiate that then? Easy.
A lot of whiskey, a lot of going out, a lot of I mean, we had a lot of luck because Margarita itself got declared a special economic zone, so the whole territory, but just different triangles, right? So there's a triangle where you can do restaurants, tax-free, there's a triangle where you can do software development or production or whatever. And
you better give us a bit of an overview of what and where Margarita Island is. I'm almost certain no one's heard of it, but it sounds like a party island or something, doesn't it?
In the 90s, it was a party island. We had 56 jumbo jets coming every week from all over the world. Then we had the big crisis 2014, 15 and 16. So now you tell me where it is. What do you think?
Well, I know it's in... it's Venezuela.
Venezuela, exactly.
Yes, it's in Venezuela, but... You know, I've been to Venezuela once. I made a film there once. 2003 or something like that. Early 2000s, made a film about
the situation was cool.
It was. I remember we made a film about tarantulas, but Goliath tarantula spiders. Mm-hmm. The kids there used to catch them and eat them. And I remember that you could fill up your car with petrol for about $3 or $4. It was incredible.
That's still the case.
Is it still?
I mean, for a Venezuelan guy, they don't pay gasoline at all. They get 200 liters for free. And we as a foreigners, just like a year ago, they changed the price. So we pay 50 cents, but that's still cool. You
know? For what? For
1 liter.
50 cents a liter.
So I have a lot of old VA cars, you know, 80 liters of gasoline tank. You know, you go there and you pay, what, 35 euro or 40. And if you're Venezuelan or you have a Venezuelan girlfriend, they... for free.
Really? Blimey. So yeah, that was my one and only time there, but I don't remember there being any islands. I just thought I was coming to a mainland.
Yeah, Margarita's pretty big. It's about a third of the size of Mallorca. 500,000 people live there. Airport, hotels, clinics, whatever you need, it's all there.
And it looks quite, like, don't take this the wrong way, but it looks quite barren. On that, I know that the area barren. Around it, dry and I thought it'd be forested, like jungle or something.
It
like
is, but in the center, in the mountains, the closer you get to the beach, obviously the drier it gets.
Right.
But yeah, we have a lot of coconut palms and everything, but not the typical forest. It's more like in the center where the mountains are.
And you've got international flights to where from the island?
In the moment, the only flights which came back are Russia, Warsaw, actually, like on the other half of the...
Moscow?
Yeah, it's really crazy.
But they can fly there? I thought, how do you fly from... Oh, I suppose you go all the way across Russia and then...
It's like an endless flight.
But I know that I can't take any Russian airlines at the moment because of the war with Ukraine. They owe me a ticket, actually. I had one ticket to Mongolia that they never reimbursed me.
Oh.
But what was I going to say? So, yeah, on the map, where is it? And how far off the mainland is it?
It's 40 kilometers off the main coast. And basically in front of... on the top of Venezuela, like Caracas, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of the few islands Venezuela actually has. It's part of the ABC Islands, or next to the ABC Islands, which is Aruba, something else in Curaçao. So.
Oh, right, Curaçao.
Margarita Island here.
Oh, yeah. Scroll out. Isn't Curaçao's got a Bitcoin circular economy, isn't it? Someone told me recently that it's one of the oldest Bitcoin circular economies in Curaçao.
I've never been there, no idea.
Really? So come on then, tell me about it from the start. Like, how you're a tech guy, obviously, startups and stuff. How did you get the idea to move into, well, I think real estate's the wrong way to describe it, but you know what I mean, cities.
I mean, we are in the Free Cities podcast, right? So I can talk freely.
Of course, yeah. Anything you want.
No censorship here.
No censorship here.
So I was in Germany. I got fed up of the pandemic and everything. And the Germans started fantasizing about lockdowns and shit. So I had a company there. I'm in informatics from typical German career school, you know. The guy who's configuring a firewall and stuff. So... like it is, like a lot of times when you're learning your new skill, you're getting used like as a slave in your company, right? So they've sent me cleaning stuff and everything. So after my 5-year period, four-year period, I was like, you know what? I got my diploma now, and I ended my job on day one, basically. So I got hired after I got my diploma, and I terminated the same day and walked out and started my company on day one.
Like, do many people do that out of interest?
I don't know. I don't know. I think you got to be crazy, because I didn't have any backups and any savings. I was just like, okay, that's not how I'm going to live. I'm not going to clean printers for the rest of my life. That's not going to happen. So I walked out, I founded my company, and I started calling all the clients from the old company, which I still knew, because we were basically like a printer as a service company, like, you know, the big copies and everything. But when I was there, the clients always asked me, hey, can you go and help me with the Wi-Fi, or my TV is not working or whatever, because you're like the tech guy, right? Yeah. So I had like 80 numbers, I called them all up, and a day later I had like 30 clients. So that's how it started. as well, several years. I had a an employee then or two, but then I met the German tax office my first time in my life, right? Because I was earning 500 euros a month as an apprentice, you know, for my job, and then I made suddenly 10 grand a month. So huge jump, right? 20x. And I didn't know how to manage me quite, and then I got a huge fine, and you have to pay and everything, and I was like, so much money, what the fuck is happening, you know? And then the pandemic hit, and people started fantasizing about you can't get out of your home, you know, and you have to wear the stupid mask all day, and please take the 6th and the 7th booster. And I said, this is all going in the fucking wrong direction. So my dad emigrated in 1998 to Margarita Island, so I already knew it. I was there every summer as a kid, and I was calling him up and was like, hey, how's the situation over there? And he's like, what situation?
Really?
And there's no nothing here. The only thing they do when you come here, they check you at the airport, and that's it. Once you're inside of Margarita, nobody gives a flying shit. Nothing.
Check what, though? What were they checking on the way in? Just your passport?
They just did like a PCR test.
Oh, okay. Well,
but it's fairly looked like those little baking aroma ampules, you know how they look like? Yeah. Those classical, like from your grandmother. Yeah. Citrus ampule for baking aroma. I was pretty sure they took these ampules and just charged $50. It's just Venezuela, you know.
I had a similar experience in El Salvador during the pandemic.
Yeah,
we had it was all a show. We had to sit, and I had my whole family there. One time we needed a PCR test, and the guy came in. It's a bit like that meme of the guy patting down people going into a festival. Have you seen that one? Right. They came up with a thing, and they went, like, they touched it on the edge of your nose and put it in the thing. But I mean, the whole thing was just bizarre. Anyway, that's a whole other
story.
It was
just a bullshit scam, you know. And I mean, they made money. I mean, for the Venezuelans, it was cool, you know, $50 for everybody. But once we were inside, nobody gave a flying fuck. So it was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go there, and maybe I'm going to take some vacations. Let's go 3 months, you know. I'm an IT guy, I can work remotely. So I pissed off to Margarita. And after a while, I got into like the Caribbean rhythm, right? So don't be stressed all day, you know, and hey, take a walk at the beach, because I'm a German, you know, I'm under electricity all day, bam, 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 and this and this and this and this has to be organized. And then I got to know them, the Margarita way of, hey, let's drink a coffee, let's walk at the beach, you know, and start your day not working. You know, this cost me a lot to adapt this kind of lifestyle, but walking half an hour in the morning at the beach really grounds you down. So I started to do this, and then I started to think about, man, do I really have a better life in Europe? Because that's what they told us, right? If you go to a third world country, you're gonna be poor, and you don't have electricity, and it's gonna be criminal, and you will never have the same life quality as in Germany. But it felt different. I mean, everybody was friendly to me. Nobody. I felt more endangered in Germany, in the main street. You know, all the junkies and all the immigrants now looking at you with a knife. You know, in Margarita, everybody was nice and friendly. Everything was way cheaper. I didn't have to pay taxes. People actually wanted me there. I opened a bar, some kind in space, and then the TV came and made a show about it because I'm opening a bar. And I was like,
which TV? What the local TV?
The
channel?
Local main TV station, like the Televisión Venezuela, like the big channel, you know.
Why? Not many
expats. I have
there.
No fucking idea why. Who gives a flying fuck if you're opening a bar in London or in Germany? I didn't even ask for it. They came, you know, with all the translation for the people which cannot hear, like in the top left, you know,
on
the bottom right. They made like a half an hour documentary about my stupid
bar.
Why?
I mean, what was the. Were there not many expats on the island or something?
Nobody was there.
Oh, okay.
And there's still not really a lot of people. Which doing a lot of stuff. So imagine what happened later in when we did Crypto City, but we're going to talk later about it. Yeah, they came, they made like a show, and then I got to some radio stations, and they were asking me, Tim, why are you coming as a German from Germany and investing here? We don't understand it, you know. We want to go to Germany, you know. And then I was like, yeah, people, but Germany isn't what it used to be. It's not a country where milk and honey is flying or coming down from the trees for you to just collect it. I mean, you're living like a slave robot if you are not somehow a doctor or having a great job, if you're having a traditional minimum income job as a waiter or, you know, running around in a restaurant or in a supermarket, you're fucked. I mean, what do you pay for rent, 700-800, and what's your net income if smeldo minimum, with minimum wage, like 1200, 1300 after taxes? So they always look at me, mira Tim, pero 1800 está mucho. Look Tim, but 1800, that's so much money. I say, yeah, Venezuela maybe, but in Germany that's nothing, you know. And a lot of Venezuelans I know, they go to Europe and they come back after half a year because they're like, shit, I imagined that like really, really differently, you know. Like, I thought you guys lived the best life, but man, I had like 5 homeless people in front of my door and they wanted to sell me heroin and I don't have money and they don't let me work. And it's like completely mind blowing, you know. I said, yeah, I always tell Venezuelan people, you guys are blind for what you have. It's like a German living in the Schwarzwald. That's where I'm coming from. Beautiful scenery and thousands of pines, you know, and like perfect scenery, like from a painter, you know, but you're just blind to it because you have it every day. But everybody who comes there is like, wow, it's crazy. But yeah, oh, your question. Why am
No, you're still doing it. Yeah, we're on the way there. So you've got a bar now.
Yeah, I have several companies. I have 5-6 companies. But the first one, I had the IT company. I went off to Margarita. And then I was like, okay, if I'm going to stay here, I got to do something, right? So what I was doing back then and still doing, not anymore, but I was pretty good at creating websites, right? So beautiful websites, you know, which are mobile optimized and ranking good on Google and everything. That was my business back then. So I opened a company, Margarita Marketing, and I started hiring Venezuelan programmers because you get a programmer for like $250 back then, you know, in a month. And suddenly I had like 5 employees, doing stuff for random clients, you know, like managing an Instagram or doing funnels or websites. And I was like, oh, cool, that works great. So let's scale it up. Then I had like 20, 30 employees half a year later. Then I went off to Germany for some business and I saw the camera, no, the business. Like nobody did anything. As soon as I was away from the office, they started playing games, you know, and drinking beer in the office and watching movies. I mean, it's kids, right? They're like 20, 25, you know, and once the boss is away, nice, you know. So I got back like 3 weeks later, I got pissed. I closed the whole company down, fired everybody. I was like, you're so stupid. You have the best jobs here ever. I'm like the most chillest dude ever. I mean, if you're working in Venezuela and earning that kind of money, in Venezuela they get maybe half or a third. I paid them in the end like 300, 350, 400 bucks a month. But normal levels are like 100. So I fired everybody and I said, you're stupid. You had the most chillest job ever, but if you cannot like do the most basic things, like if your client is not calling me and saying that you're not doing anything, I don't give a flying shit what you do. If you go home at 3 p.m. but your client's happy, cool, perfect. Like literally, this is your guy, make him happy, I write the invoice, so I closed it down and I opened another company and I changed the concept. This is one I still have, it's my biggest one. It's called Rent a Pro, which means rent a programmer. Instead of me doing project work, I rent out full-time employees. They just my job is bringing them into the office with a bus and giving them food and kind of controlling them that they work, but in the end they get integrated external like equipos teams, right? So they have like their cubicles and I love gaming chairs, so I have like 30 gaming chairs in the office and everybody thinks we're like an esports team because of the 2 monitors and everything, you know, but it's not like this. And I said, no, it's a programmer's renting company. And then they work for the client, you know, and I just write an invoice to Germany, like for the senior ones, we rent out for 2,000 a month and the junior ones 1,000 a month, which is still cheap. For in Germany, you pay like 7, 8, 9. I mean, but in the end of the day, PHP is PHP. JavaScript is JavaScript. Doesn't matter if you're from India, Pakistan, Venezuela, whatever, if they are able to communicate with the team, so they know English. Yeah, that's the biggest one I still have. Apart from that, I have a really great crypto academy in Germany, which I started when I came to Venezuela, because I had people starting to ask me about this coin stuff you're doing. You know, I was on my ledger all day, you know, last bull run DeFi. It was awesome, man. Over collateralized loans here and buying Luna there. And it was crazy. And somebody asked me or penetrated me like, annoyed me for like a month. Like, Tim, can you grab me some videos, you know? Can you please explain it to me this way and this way? And I said, okay. So he grabbed some videos and I've sent it to him. But the guy was not interested in the content. He was an online marketer. He wanted to see if I'm capable of talking in front of the camera. So he was like, Tim, that's awesome. You're going to make a product out of that. And I was like, me? A coach? Nah, forget it. And then like Zoom calls and everything, you know, and explaining people. I don't know. He was like, yeah, I'm going to do everything. You just have to say, do what I say. I said, okay. So I produced the first version of Crypto Champions Academy in Germany 2 years ago. And today we have about 6,000 students inside there. I still do my weekly mastermind calls every Monday. It's about 40, 50 people, but this is called Investment Accelerator. It's like a bigger group of people which have more stuff going on. And this is actually how our topic today started, Crypto City, because out of this group, I had people started calling me up, Tim, it's getting unbearable in Germany. Like, what is this margarita and where you are? Is this like a pizza or do you have electricity? And I said, no, I'm riding my dynamo bike here while we're having a Zoom call. That's a stupid question. Of course we have electricity. Yeah, can I visit you? So they started visiting me and visiting me and visiting me. And people stayed there. They're like, Tim, this is a paradise. Real estate, an apartment, 100 square meter. For what, $18,000? Like an apartment, buying, not renting, buying. And I was like, yeah. God damn it. And they started buying, you know, the houses here and there, one in the north, the other in the south. And then we were like geologically really separated. So what does a good German guy do when he's an expert? He's creating a Stammtisch, which means like a weekly reunion on a big table, you know, where all the Germans are going to talk about what they like and what they don't like, you know, like the typical German stuff to do in the expats or in the outer circles. And then, I don't know, on one of those nights, somebody was like, you know, we should like live together. And I was like, yeah, we could buy like an apartment tower, right? So everybody has like one apartment, you have like 30 units and everybody was in one. Yeah, but you know, who wants to live in the third floor? Boring. So we started to fantasize with this idea of buying a plot together and actually constructing something, right? And after some weeks, you know, I called him, the other dude, and I was like, man, I got to talk to you about this idea with the city, you know. He said, yeah, I still have it in my head as well, but who's going to construct it? How would we do a city? And this was 2 years ago. And today we are where we are.
And so the stage you're at now, 50, did you say 50 families are living
50. In? 50 sold plots. No, we are not 50 families yet. We have 50 entrepreneurial families, which are in the moment getting rid of their companies, selling everything they have and they own, getting out of Germany's like handcuffs. You know, you have to do some special tricks to get out of there without being absolutely wrecked. And this takes around 1-2 years, a process like this, to get out of Germany without getting stripped of your whole net worth. And yeah, after that, we are going to start building houses in 2026.
So at the moment, you're making roads, making terraces you were talking about, just flattening the land out.
We're doing earth movement because it was a really mountainy thing going on. The biggest mountain we had there was 28 meters over the sea level, and we stripped that down to 12 now, so 16 meters of like pure earth and rock, and we flattened it out. And after every street, it goes down like a staircase, so you don't have to see your neighbor's house wall, basically, from your terrace.
So how did you find someone to do all that kind of side of it? If you never built, is it
pure luck?
Yeah?
Absolute, pure and utter luck.
Like, what experience did you have in city building in this at all?
Zero.
Anything? Property? Anything?
No. I have no idea of construction.
What about the governance side of it, the special economic zone side of it? That doesn't matter, I suppose, because you're kind of already part of it, right?
We're part of it, right?
Yeah.
But it came after a year after we started. So I'm doing this with my dad. He's the other half, basically, from our side. And we started with two Venezuelan construction guys he knew, right? And they pulled up there with, like, you know, 5-6 little machines. You know, it was really slow and everything. And the crazy story, my Venezuelan business partner today, he's one of the biggest builders in Venezuela. He did streets in Caracas, like big bridges, you know, like multi-billion dollar projects, huge ass hotels. He did a lot of urbanization, so he's like the perfect guy. But I, as today, if Venezuela would be in a good state, I would never have had access to a guy like this, because like 20 years ago, this guy owned like, I don't know, 10 private planes and 6, 7, 8 yachts, and was in all the world, and in America and Miami, and he had a big theme park and everything. I mean, this was other like next level, right? But today, as the Venezuelan construction sector is lying completely breaking down, right? Nobody had work, so I had access to this guy. But just because we pretended to be Russian billionaire investors and we want to see his theme park. This was like 2.5 years ago. I had a German friend here, and my business partner still owns a theme park, right, in Margarita, and it's a ghost town because it's closed 10 years ago. But you literally go there and you still see all the machines and the computers and the cat, even the registers, right, with all the money inside and the vinyls and the bars, and it's closed. So on this day I was there, and I asked a security guy if he can go in there. We pretended to be Russian billionaires because he didn't speak Spanish anyway. So I said to my friend, he was like 40 something, you know, he's a Russian billionaire, maybe he's gonna buy it, can we do a tour? So the guy who owns it, just for pure luck, was there, which is the guy who did the construction and everything in Venezuela and had all the planes. He was like, hi, my name's Louis and everything. And yeah, no problem. You guys can look at it, right? So we were at the theme park and we looked at it and we exchanged numbers. And when we were looking for a plot, like 2.5 years later, we came into contact because Louis wants to renovate his hotel and his theme park. And he said, hey, I have land to sell, because I want to renovate my hotel. You know anybody? And I was like, if this is not a signal from the universe, I don't know as well.
Right? He had land on Margarita, though. That's
next
even
to his hotel. That's where we are today, right? Like next doors.
Yeah, that's destiny.
Bought 13 hectares there. And we just bought more next to it. And we're going to do a port as well. And we bought more and more and more. And now it's growing. But it was destiny. So. And without him, we couldn't even have managed it, because this guy is so well connected. He is covering my back whenever somebody's trying to start shit. You know, he's always knows the boss and the guy above the guy who wants to start shit. So.
Before we go on, what is the current situation in Venezuela, like economically, let's say?
We hit the most lowest point in 2017, I would say, 16-17. You cannot compare Margarita and Venezuela. It's not the same. Margarita is a bubble. Venezuela mainland is way bigger and in a way worse shape. Margarita always has been the window to Venezuela. So that while the tourists came from, started to leave their money there and then going to the mainland years later when they settled up in Margarita. But Margarita was always the first point where people came and settled in. So Margarita was always better. Still though, it was not in perfect condition, obviously, in 2016-17. They still had problems, especially the Venezuelan people. One good thing about Margarita is even if you have $0 and no money, you go and you start to go fishing and you will always have something to eat, because the fishermen in Margarita, they always have to eat, right? There's always abundance, naturally, mangoes and salads and everything. You can just, there's so many mango trees with thousands of tons, you know, just flying around, and then, you know, the cows eat it or whatever. So it's a natural abundance. But economically, it was bad 2017, and that's when we sneaked in around 1920, started buying up real estate with the play that Margarita's going to get better. And that's exactly what happened. A lot of money is flowing in from Russia now, from Poland, the Chinese, some Indonesian guys are here, and we as the Germans are trying to play a part in this big scheme as well. But come on, I mean, Russian guys and Indonesian billionaires, we have small lights against them, right? A lot of money is flowing in. We are just waiting like the rabbit in front of the hole, basically, that the direct flights are going to come back. That's the moment when you lit the candle, and then everything's going to go crazy again. I mean, it started with Moscow bringing Russian tourists, but in my opinion, they're pretty cheap Russian tourists. It's all-inclusive and everything, you know. They pay the all-inclusive shit, and then they don't even go out because they don't want to pay a dollar for a beer, you know. That's the kind of tourists coming now. When we got European tourists back, like Germans, English, maybe some Italian ones, not with all-inclusive, but just flights. These are the tourists you want to have in Margarita, and this is where money comes in. And Margarita is pretty dependent on tourism, right? So when this is going to happen, it's going to go crazy again. Up until then, we just keep building and buy and keep building and buy. And sometimes the cycle is at the slowest point now.
Is there, so at your place, is there an ideology behind it, or is it just a, you know, is there any kind of ideological bent to it?
Our city only consists of entrepreneurs, which are from a certain type of mankind, you know. You're not going to exactly be 7 times boosted and jabbed if you are in this community. You won't exactly like the German government and what they do and what they stand for. We're not talking about ultra-rights activists. We're just talking about normal people from the 90s, right? If you were a normal guy from the 90s, that's where we are, you know? Like, I don't believe everything the government says. I don't want to get jabbed, and I have a nice middle-class business going on, you know? Normal, good people. Like, you know, next-door neighbors, Mr. Müller, you know, a nice Mercedes, who had this nice little middle-class business. That's exactly where we are. I mean, we have some more on the top, and we have our craziest one is like 100 million net worth, but the most of them are just like, you know, asset millionaires, bringing wife and family, you know, saving them from Europe, saving them from Germany, bringing their talent as well. They want to start new businesses there. We have a job matrix of around 35 different business backgrounds we're trying to combine. And our ideology is that get the fuck out of Europe and save your wealth, save your net worth. And we're going to be on that island when the world's going to burn. And we're going to probably be pretty happy there. And I think most of Europe is going to be pretty unhappy. It's sad, but you cannot save everybody. So
how do you enforce that? Or enforce is the wrong word, but how do you make sure that the people that end up there are the people you want?
We have a group votation. Everybody who wants to buy a plot has to survive the votation, and the votation is hard. So first things first, I get to know somebody. I have the idea that this could be an interesting guy. So what I do is like I do an interview with him about an hour, you know. What's your beliefs? Where are you from? What's your business? What do you do? What's your wife? Where you live? And so like I'm doing an interrogation almost, you know. Like, hey, what's the guy, you know? Then I send this to the group, and the group's going to watch it, and then they're going to vote yes or no.
Really?
Yeah. And if you're going to have more than 75% yeses, then you accept it. And if not, you cannot buy.
Really? Amazing.
That's pretty hard.
Yeah, you're telling me. I mean, you know, that's I wouldn't say it's a novel way of doing it, but it's an interesting way, because providing your original group pot of talent is good, then you should maintain it. But if you've got a problem already... You're going to magnify it, aren't you? But that's interesting, really interesting.
I had several situations where I would have loved to take the money, because obviously you're burning through $30,000-$40,000 a week. But if I have a bad feeling, I say, it's not 100% fit. You're like, it's like an 80% fit. But some of the things he said, I don't like it, you know. Or maybe he has the money, but apart from it, he's a really boring guy. or an old guy, you know, wanting doing his pension. Hey man, we wanna do business together, you know. We wanna get crazy. Most of my guys are like 45, 50, you know. If you're on the upper age or upper end of age, and people tell me, hey, I'm gonna do my pension and I wanna drink margaritas all day. Cool, do it, buy an apartment next door somewhere, you know, and then you can enjoy your pension. But we are here to change the island. We are here to bring it forward, you know, to create wealth, to preserve it in a special kind of way, because it's such a diamond. And once the international people are gonna understand what it is, right, we are gonna be flooded of people. And I don't want the same to happen for Margarita as like what happened, for example, in Medellin, Colombia, El Poblano, where you have only disgusting old guys, you know, and all the whores on the street, and everything gets like super, like only drugs and everything. I hate that, you know. Margarita, for me, I want it to be a place where your family, your children are safe, where you can do great business, where you enjoy great beaches, good food. Monsanto is banned in Venezuela for like 10 years. I think it's going to be like a little fortress, you know, one of the small spaces in the world where you can like go and not being absolutely wasted.
What about, do you want another one of those waters, by the way?
That's good.
What happens when someone wants to sell then?
We as a group had a votation about this. It was rule number 7. What is going to happen if somebody wants to sell his house to, for example, he gets to know an Indian woman and he's unbelievably in love and now he wants to emigrate to India, right? What do I know what happens with 100 people in 5 years? So we as a group have a right to buy it first. If we as a group decide we do not want it, if we as a group decide we do not want it, he can sell it freely. But the original rules of votation still are in place. Of course, he can't enforce it by law, but because he has been pre-filtered and checked, I think when he's gonna go, he's still gonna stick with the rules, right? So if you bring somebody, hey, sell it to whatever you or whoever you want, but bring it to me. We wanna get him to know. And if we do not want him, we have ways as well to let him know that we do not want him. Nobody's gonna buy a house in a group where nobody wants him, right?
So you have a charter as per se, or is it? It's a DAO, right?
It's a DAO. It's right. Digital charter.
Yeah, it is a digital charter. And how much of it is was there from the beginning? How much of the DAO is being
nothing?
Nothing. No.
It's on me.
So every time you have to make a new decision, you incorporate it in the DAO.
Yes, that's how it's going to be in the future. For now, we are really boring and using Telegram groups and Google Forms. But I'm working on the DAO. It's a pretty long concept or a pretty long way of programming everything like you wanted. But basically, what's going to happen is you buy a plot, you get a little NFT. Obviously, it's going to be a normal buy and sell contract as well. But as like a little addition, you get an NFT in your wallet, which is like a key for accessing a dashboard. In this dashboard, you see everything what's happening. Also, the new votation ideas, like, hey, we have vote number 146. Somebody wants to have a bigger beach pole, whatever. You can click on yes or no, you know, depending on how many square meters you have a different voting weight. If you have like big plots and you're one of the earliest guys, it's a little algorithm, depends on how long are you in there and how many square meters you have. No, it's combining not those. And then you're gonna vote, and a vote takes about 10 days. If we do not have more than 66% of voting participation, the vote gets and the vote is gonna be
nullified.
Nullified, exactly, because we have like I took the Swiss as an example. You have to have 2/3 of people voting participation, and you have to have over 50% of yes. So that's gonna vote. For now, we're just voting in the Telegram group. We just voted for our first rule manifest in the beginning of October. We had 42 voting points where we had a big Zoom call, and Yeah, we voted basically every little shit. I mean, we're Germans, right? We have to vote everything. So, but I was pretty satisfied with the result, because the result was pretty homogeneous. We had several questions where we had 100% yes, several others where we had like 98% yes, which is for me a signal that my filter is working, right? So for example, one of the questions was, do we need a stage in Crypto City and the Beach Club so we can have politicians there, have good business people there, and do business events, right, with live music and everything? 100% yes. Second question was, how many events could we do per month, per year, per quarter? And 85% voted for one event per month, which was exactly my idea, that we have like a business Monday or a business week. So we're doing like bringing together everybody who moves to Island and Margarita, like the guy who owns all the supermarkets, the guy owning the airplane lines, the airlines, right? The other guy who has like all the yachts and the ports, you know, and bringing like the 10, 20, 30 most interesting people together in Crypto City and having a top quality standard and the Beach Club, because Venezuelans, they don't have like the European eye, right? I had several discussions with people constructing, and I see a wall outlet, a wall socket, like at 87 degrees, right? And me as a German, I'm getting really excited about this, anxious about this, yeah. And then the Venezuelan looks at you and says, "What's your problem? It's working. It's working, man. You know, it's yeah, it is, but it has to be like on level." And when we do like a top quality Beach Club standard, I think we're gonna have all the interesting people there.
So where does the capital come from for the shared resources in there then? I take it you're selling the plots, and are people then building according to rules, the charter? Yes. Is there a charter for building as well?
Yeah, of course. We don't have a lot of rules. We're from Germany. We're happy that we don't have a lot of rules there now. Our rules are, we can construct 2 stories plus terrace because we are close to the airport. You cannot build up higher. Second thing is we have different house models where we're trying to choose from, right, to bring down the prices. And the third thing is that we have a rule of the state which says we cannot have more than 50 people per hectare. So we can have in total around 500 people on 10 hectares. So that's more than enough. And apart from that, it's pretty free. You can do what you want.
And sorry, back to the shared spaces. What will you have there? I mean, are you going to do, how much of a city kind of situations are going to be? You're going to have a school, yeah. You're going to have a medical facility, are you going to, you know?
We're going to have, first things first, the Beach Club, where it's going to be the main attraction for all the people. We're having a Centro Comercial, which is a shopping center, where we have like a supermercado, not like a supermarket, not a big one, but you know, where you have the most important stuff. We're going to have fitness and physiotherapy, that's the thing people wanted. We're going to have a 360 degrees glass office on the second floor, because people want to work somewhere, right? And home office is boring all day. And that's where we're going to have an office. We are probably going to do something new on the port, which is still in construction or in designing. I mean, I'm already constructing on the old part for the 100 people, but we just bought 20 hectares more, so we're going to be in 300 families instead of 100. There's going to be probably more, like restaurants and malls and shops and everything. Regarding to schools, we didn't think about schools because the next school, which is pretty good, is like 15, 20 minutes away. Private schools where they also teach German and Spanish and Russian and English and whatever you need. Hospital, we're not probably going to have one next doors, not from us, but from our business partner, because this concept is changing in a moment. And we're going to have a fire station and an ambulance car, obviously. Also, if we have a port, we're going to have our own police, which is pretty cool, because they have to check the passports right from the boats. So one of the things they said us, we have to construct is like a little house, you know, for the police and the military men. That equals that we're going to have 24/7 police there, which is pretty cool. I mean, our own police, hello. Like, talking about security, I don't know if there's more security than that. Obviously, it's a gated community where you have like security people in front as well. But we also have real police then inside there, which is pretty cool.
And what about the funding of it? Where do you get the how do you fund the non-private spaces, the public spaces?
Yeah. Are you into crypto? You are, right?
I'm into Bitcoin.
Okay.
I'm not into crypto.
You know what's a DAO?
I know what a DAO is, yes.
Great. So DAO stands for Decentralized Autonomous Organization. DAO. It's not exactly working with Bitcoin, but the principle is something. I'm on your side here. I love Bitcoin and everything. I just didn't want to call it Bitcoin City because it's in El Salvador, you know. I don't want to call it that way.
Yeah, it's not. But
it's not there yet. Yeah. I mean, of course, I didn't yet do it. Okay, but we're going to, where's the money coming from and how are we going to administrate? So first things first, one of the most annoying things in Germany when you co-own real estate is something called the Eigentümervollversammlung, which means the reunion of all the people owning something, right? Where they do like their talks all day and should we do the roof or should we paint it white or black or red or blue? Who's gonna pay the additional cost? Blah, blah, blah. I have a trauma of that, so I decided to get rid of the problem of public costs. So how are we going to do that? We're going to set up in the DAO, we are going to set up a voting, and I already voted it. We said we're going to have a one-time payment of €7 per square meter you bought, okay, but once the city is up and running. With this €7, I calculated for the original crypto city, it's going to be 85,000 square meters of sellable land times 7. So we're going to end up with around 500, 600,000 euros in a pot. Okay. This pot, we are going to use it to invest, staking, lending in crypto instead. Also small apartments, also going into private loaning, also going into whatever. Our goal is to create around 10-15% per year. This is absolutely easy in Venezuela. If you buy real estate, you flip it, next year you made 50%. But we're going to have somebody managing that part. And if you calculate now $600,000, 15% per year, it's close to 100K. And this time it's like 90. And we calculated for the original crypto city, for the other, it's a different calculation, but we need around €8,000 of running costs per month. This includes the three people at the door, you know, doing three shifts. This includes the gardener. This includes the, you know, the paint on the street here and there, you know. This includes the people at the beach club serving the drinks. This includes the people at the mini market. This includes the people at the fitness center. This includes the guy and administration for the office and da 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 da. All the running costs of personnel and small repairs are going to be done like this. If you're going to have something bigger, obviously we're going to have a rotation. Hey, the main water pump died, whatever. It's 10,000, so 100 people, everybody puts in 100, so nobody's going to give a shit because quality of people is good, right? So there's not going to be a lot of problems. This is where the main money for the running cost is coming from. For all the construction, obviously, we privately bought a plot of land with our own money, and from what we sell as plots, this is 100% used to start construction, right? Everybody always asks me, Tim, did you already make yourself a multi-millionaire from your project? And I said, it would be nice. It's absolutely the contrary case. The company owes me $200,000, me and my dad, because we are always pre-financing, because I'm pretty strict with the people. My dad is already annoyed from me. I say, hey, man, I have somebody, you know, who wants to buy a plot for $150,000, and I look at it, no, I don't want it. Oh, look at him, you know, I don't want him. But why? And I said, we need the money. And I said, yeah, but look at this. No, 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 this won't work. This won't work. No, the group is going to deny it. So we actually prefer pre-financing some weeks instead of having like bad eggs in the pot, right? So in the moment, we are pretty keen to get new people on board. That's why I was so happy to be on the Free Cities Conference, because I got to know so many great people. I mean, this was like heaven for me, right? I'm talking to 9 or 10 people a day. We disqualify 8, 2 get voted, and maybe 1 gets in, you know, that's the thing. But if I would have been here with the people at Free Cities Conference, I mean, this would be like, you're in, you could be in, you could be voted in. Yeah, you work. Yeah, this is good. This is good. Like a heaven of a target group of good people, right? And a lot of them are going to visit me now in December. They already showed interest, and pretty happy to get them on board.
Wow. Gosh, it's an interesting project. It's a kind of, What's the time scale on all this stuff?
You 2026, we are going to have the first construction of the houses. And up until 2025, I want to have all the infrastructure done.
Which is what, mainly roads or any buildings? What do you class the kind of beach house as, for example, or whatever, the beach club? You know?
This is how the votation process looks, you know. Thomas Wiefel, he has two, in German anyway.
Am I allowed to, there's not any sensitive information.
No, but it's in German anyway. You cannot read it. I don't know if you can read it.
So this is a guy that wants to move here.
And I describe here, he has two kids, he's divorced, he's an engineer, he has a patent on some ceramic things back in the day in the 90s, and he's fed up of Germany and he wants to come there. He's an engineer and whatever he wants to do.
That's incredible.
And then the group says 100% yes, so he got voted in.
Really?
But most of them knew him anyway, you know. Well, he had Mr. Gerd, he was an ex-captain at the Marine, and today he's an interim manager, and also got voted in. A lot of...
And where do most of these people hear about your project?
Oh, it's a lot. We are absolutely unknown. I'm just starting to actually go out on the internet. I'm pretty strong on Instagram. So Instagram and YouTube, these are my channels. I have an Instagram 14,400, but it's still, it's nothing, right? I had German TV here doing a documentary, Abenteuerleben, which means adventure of life, right? And I did like a half an hour documentary about me. And I was really excited because I thought, this is going to be seen by millions of people. Yeah, but which target group is going to watch TV at 4 p.m. on a Wednesday, right?
Well, also, I hate to say it, but you need the number of people that know about your project isn't as important necessarily as the quality of the people that know about your project. Like you say, you can come to somewhere like this. We had 350 attendees this year, I think. But your very high value attendees.
Yeah.
And that exactly. Number, if you want to go out into the real world and meet 350 libertarians interested in free cities, it'll take you, it's probably 350,000 people or something, you know. It is, I've learned that one on this podcast because we have, you know, I've got friends with Bitcoin podcasts that started and then rose meteorically.
Yeah.
Whereas we've risen slowly and organically and getting bigger and bigger and bigger because the industry's smaller. It's still a niche thing, you know.
Of course.
But obviously, you know, we all think especially, I mean, 2020 was an absolute wake-up call for so many people. And I wouldn't be surprised if something similar didn't happen. These little sort of flashpoint events which kick people into sort of like, you know, reality. Yeah. But so are you just is it just Germans?
No, it's an international group of a lot of different people. But most of them are German because I'm German and I know a lot of Germans. But we also have an Italian and Hollandaise guy who does snow, by the way. I love him. Michael, he's the coolest guy ever. He does snow all around the world, like artificial snow. He's going to Thailand. He's the only guy doing this on all the world. And when they do like ski events in the hot cities, you know, he comes there with all the machines and everything. It's awesome. He's my Dutch guy. I have Austrians, Swiss, I have a Canadian guy.
What's the kind of local situation there, as in locals? Like, how many people did you say live on the island?
500,000.
Oh, right. So it's pretty vast, yeah. Cool. So what you're doing is of limited interest to the rest of the island, is it? Or
No, we are number one interest for everybody.
Because, oh, right.
I cannot go out there anymore without getting interviews and photos and give me a signature and everything because it's double-sided. Half of the island, I would say, hates me as a devil in person, and the other half of the island wants to marry me to her daughter. Because literally what we do, we are going to kickstart the economy, right? So we are going to bring a lot of money and a lot of talent to the island. Upper class or middle class people from the island know that and understand that, and that's why they love us. people which are a little bit more on the easier or more simpler side, they have fear that we are going to expand, you know, and stealing their fisherman's hut, you know, and they're going to have to move because of us and all that bullshit, you know. I have theories on social media where they write that I'm going to do a German military base, you know. I'm a Russian spy. I'm not even German, you know. I'm a Venezuelan because my accent is so good. They don't even buy now anymore that I'm German. It's pretty crazy. So the locals... everybody has an opinion. It's not like they don't care. Everybody has an opinion about us. But about actually buying there, it doesn't make sense because A, for the economy is not strong enough. But B, if you just want to buy a house as an investment, you have to buy used up real estate in Margarita. Because as I just said, you can buy a two-store family house, you know, close to the beach, 300 square meters for 100K. Doesn't make sense to build a new house where you pay around 1,000-1,200 per square meters. It makes sense for us because we're doing a community and we are going to live together and we're going to invest together. But apart from that, normal real estate prices are cheaper if you buy it used up.
Do they have, I mean, how are property rights on the island for your average local? You know, I know that from other projects and from actually from being in El Salvador and, you know, around some of the places that a lot of had a large influx of income since, especially since the Bitcoin legal tender thing. And a lot of those guys were living in properties that weren't really, they just built them there. And,
yeah.
And they were, I know stories of people getting disenfranchised because there's no legal, legal contract and having the land and stuff.
Those houses, there's a special word for it, I forgot it, but there are, some of those houses are existing. If they bought it, like if they just constructed it somewhere randomly 20 years ago, I think the former president legalized it at some point in time. If it would go head to head and you buy this plot of land and you have this guy there, you're gonna have a problem because I don't know the word, but you have to have get some kind of you know, an agreement. You cannot just buy it and kick him out. It's not gonna work because he's gonna denounce you, and then he's gone, and then it looks bad. You know, what you can do is trying to buy them out. You know, you take 10 grand and buy yourself a little apartment in the city. Probably most of the times they're better off then. But I would try to avoid buying a plot where you have a guy living since 8 years in his hut, which he's built there. And, not good.
Yeah, I know. It just, I think sometimes in projects like this, those kind of things just appear out. You know, it's very hard to keep everyone happy, as you know. And like you see, half the island is displeased.
Yeah.
Mainly, we've seen this a lot in Honduras. Often it's because of complete misinformation. Like, in the case of Honduras, what's going on in Roatan and, you know, Prospera, it's a government whipping up absolute hatred for a project as a sort of political punch bag. But there are cases of locals not wanting to have this thing built right next to them. I don't know what you're supposed to do about that because it's like there is no way to keep everyone happy in these situations. But
I mean, we chose a strategic, interesting location. So we have 5 to 7 minutes from the airport. The next city, El Yaque, which is all the tourist hotspots, where the tourist hotspot is, it's around 5 minutes from us as well. So there's, I would say, 2-3 kilometers of beach and coasts in between us. Left to us is nothing. Right to us is our business partner. Left to us, we just buy it. So we don't have any Russians building, I don't know, nightclubs next to us. So I wanted to avoid that. Or whatever nationality, I don't give a shit. But from the next city, like the main city, we are like 20 minutes away. So we are like kind of enough away. So we don't annoy nobody and we have room to expand. But we're also not like an hour's drive away from something. So it's like 5 to 10 minutes and you are somewhere where you can do something, right? So we are pretty good. The only The only beef we recently had was with the fishermen. They tried to cut me up on social media. They did a video from a fisherman, you know, driving by. The Germans, they are gonna destroy all the reefs, and they're destroying the fish, and they're destroying everything, you know. No, it's a running situation. We are perfectly respecting the law. The law says you cannot construct closer than 80 meters to the shoreline. Just exactly because of this cost, not destroy the reefs, right? And the same fishermen doing the videos, they fish always in the reefs and destroying all the reefs. So imagine Venezuela, what a funny country this is. So this guy uploads this, right? And makes a denunciation with the head of the, what called the traduction would be water police, maybe, okay? Like ocean police, like ocean environmental police, okay? So next day we have the Secret Service at our plot of land, the police, the Guardia, the military, and the ocean police, right? So they come and visit and inspect and say, hey, the Germans didn't do anything wrong, you know, like they respected everything, so everything is good. So the guy, this was the funniest stuff, my point is. So the guy demanded that the same fisherman, he wrote him a letter saying, you have to do another video saying sorry to the Germans or you're going to go to jail. For false disinformation, right? So Venezuela is sometimes a land where you beef via social media. This is absolutely sick if you think about it. But yeah, he did his video saying sorry to the Germans.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was enjoying this so hardcore.
How does it work with things like residency and passports and that kind of stuff?
If you are alone for yourself, you don't know nobody, forget it. I have Germans working since like 2 years and getting like a visa and everything. We, thank God, now have a good connection there. When I say this is a good guy who's coming to Crypto City, it's accelerated pretty fast. But if you don't know nobody, I was fighting for my papers 2 years before I was known.
I mean, is it a case of residency or is it a local passport or what? Like,
no, you can go as a German, European, whatever, British, you can go there 90 days anyway without a visa, right? And you can extend to 90 days, I think, again, like you can stay there like 6 months per year. But for staying permanently there, you need a visa, which is the easiest way is the visa de dentista, which means old guys visas, right? You just have to prove you're getting like $2,000 a month from somewhere, like as a pension, right? But you do this and nothing happens. You're like, okay, submitted all the papers and then nothing happens. So what they expect is a little bit of acceleration fee, but then they still don't do shit. So the next thing is a visa of investors visa, which is the ones we are getting. They are valid for a year, and then you can extend them. And after the second extension, you get like the 5 year or 10 year permanent residency card.
Wow, interesting project. First time I've ever heard about it. Exactly. I think I don't know about the name Crypto City, but I would have called it Bitcoin City. But you are doing crypto anyway. It's not my thing, but you know, people want a crypto, they can crypto. But I'm surprised you didn't give it a name which was a bit more like, you know, I don't know, something to do with Margarita. You know, like
I mean,
Margaritaville.
The other name we had working in progress was Colonia del Mar, which means like ocean colony.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I'm from a crypto background.
But it sounds like you only want crypto people there.
It's not only crypto people. Most of them are not crypto people.
That's what I mean. It sounds like, when I look at it, it makes me think, oh, it's like, you know, crypto people.
Yeah. I mean, I made it kind of hard on me in retro perspective, because if somebody has the word crypto and then he has Venezuela together, the initial impression is this is 99.9% scam.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But then again, hopefully they've done their research, which is actually it's probably a pretty good barrier to entry anyway. Well, look, thanks. I think I'm going to wrap it up there, but thanks for revealing all. It's very
great. I have to go to the airport anyway and hop on the next flight now to Argentina next conference.
Really? Which one? What's it called?
It's from a group called the Mavericks, really interesting project. The Mavericks project, ultra high net worth individuals preparing together for the end of the world. Basically, that's what it is.
How come I've never heard of these? What's it called? Mavericks.
Mavericks project.
A, pr- a, pr- A conference for high net worth individuals preparing for the end of the world.
Basically. I was there last time. I thought I'm going to an investment conference. 3 days we talked about buying your own farmland, doing your own food. Where the fuck should I go?
Bunkers
get the
and
fuck
stuff
out
like
of
that.
Europe. Yeah, and they told me stuff which was completely new for me as a German. Like,
how long have you been in Central America? You sound like you're fluent in Spanish and stuff. You've got a good sense.
I'm in
of
Venezuela since 4 years.
Yeah. What do you think of the Argentina thing? Do you get much?
I mean, I like the guy, you know, like running around with a chainsaw and putting socialism to the trouble, you know. It's hard for me to say, you know.
What about Bukele? Opinion on him?
I mean, he did a great job of getting his country being safe, right? I actually got invited to a show in El Salvador in the TV, right? The embajador, the diplomatics guy, called me and I was like, hey, sorry, Venezuela and El Salvador are not on the bus terms. If I'm going to go there on a TV show now, I'm going to get kicked out of the country, so I can't do it. I'm sorry.
Why aren't they on good terms?
They beefed on Twitter.
Who? Venezuela and
Bukele and the president beefed on Twitter.
About what?
I don't know, man. It was he called him an old ass dictator, and he called him like a dick sucking young boy. I don't know. The Twitter beefs are not my the thing to understand.
Stay out of it. Well, anyway, Tim, thanks. It's been fascinating. It sounds really interesting. It sounds very crazy and unusual as well.
Yeah.
But another bow in the spray. Another string in the bow of this kind of network of people doing very different things. And if they want to try and pass the test again,
exactly.
Check the show notes for this, and obviously you can contact Tim directly. I'm sure he's the seems
are
like
we gonna do a Zoom call and looking at you if you're maybe.
Do you want to sit in front of 50 Germans and get judged?
Hell no. That sounds pretty sadistical, right? But you're not going to sit sit in front of me, and the video is going to be sent.
Oh, you're right. You don't even have to be there. All right.
No,
anyway.
It's only me.
Nice talking to you, mate. Thanks for coming in, and good luck with everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.